Thank you, Al. And of course, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess if I was to sum up probably what I'm going to say tonight, and I hope I do it fairly well, the good Lord willing. The big point is, this Lord Jesus Christ that we have, that we talk about, is the light of the world. And this is the thing that I want to talk about in several different ways this evening. I'm going to start by, asking you and myself, do we believe what he said? If we truly believe what he said, do we have faith in him that he meant it and that he can have confidence in his word? And to begin with that, I'm going to start at the verse 13 on the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your truth, your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all supplication, all prayer, rather, and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'd like to go back here to this verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you know that we have two sources of temptation in this world. One comes from the Almighty by power of the Holy Spirit. The other comes from the power of the devil. And sometimes man, because he wants to make up things on his own, doesn't realize that in the process of doing so, he's actually followed the leadings of the adversary of his soul. So as we think about these things, if we have the confidence in this Lord Jesus Christ that we need to have, the first thing we need to do is to believe what he said. I'll turn now to the 8th chapter of St. John. I'll read the 12th verse. Well, I'll read several verses, and then I want to skip down some. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now I'm going to skip down here to verse 27. They understood not that he spake unto them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they went into a discussion of whether or not they were free. And of course, he emphasized to them the fact that being the servant of sin, they had bound themselves with that. In our society today, we have a problem, and it seems like the scientific world has gotten into it also, that we want to be able to believe that what I do, I'm not actually responsible for, because it's in my genes. I don't have a choice. And of course, in the process of doing this, we have to disbelieve the fact that we all came from the same family. And so whatever genes were in that family had to be passed down and changed in whatever form we find them in the people today. Because we do have to believe, or we have to realize, that though we didn't all come necessarily, we do date back to the family of Adam, and of course it spread out and all that. But when they try to get around that, then they find ourselves kind of tied up in another family, which is the only one that came through the flood. And the thing that because of the structure of mankind himself, the frailty of being a human being, we have to realize that as we go through life, we have to make our choices. And in those choices, we determine the direction that we're going to go. Sometimes people say to themselves, well, I was put in this place and there wasn't any other thing for me to do. But you know, there's always a choice. Yes, the Lord does regulate many of the circumstances and the opportunities that we find ourselves in. And we thank him for it, because we pray all the time that he will help us with our lives. And he does that. But we have to realize that each time we come to a decision-making juncture, we do make a decision I've had people tell me, well, I didn't really decide, I just didn't do anything. And I'll have to tell you that that in itself is a decision. They decided they were not going to respond in the way that they thought people wanted, or maybe they thought they were abstaining as the vote came. But at the same time, it's a decision that they made. And because of that decision, there was a path chosen. We have this light. I'm going to read you now a few verses from the 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi. I'll start out with the end of what Jesus is teaching the people about their remembering him, and which is connected with the thing that we did this morning as we had the sacrament. And if you do always remember me, I'm starting at verse 41 on page 651. Ye shall have my spirit to be with you. Do you believe that? If you do believe that, and you never do anything, especially what you might call the important decisions, that you're always remembering Jesus, then you're kind of doing what, there was even a book written here a while back about it. What would Jesus do? You're asking yourself that question. And that is a good question to ask. Because it goes on here and it tells you why that is a good question to ask. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall do these things. And if you do always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock. And he's talked about, you know, you remember the example of the man who built his house. The one on the sand and the one on the rock. And the one survived and the other one didn't. And that's what Jesus is alluding to here. But whoso among you shall do more or less than these are not built upon my rock, but are built upon a sandy foundation. And when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon them, they shall fall. And the gates of hell are ready, are already open to receive them. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. And if you'll notice, every once in a while, regardless of whether you're reading it from one book or the other, he makes this point. Here in the 8th chapter of St. John, he is telling us, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And here, once again, he is saying, these blessings, and blessed are if you'll keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil and are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, and this is the big lesson that we have learned, I think, because we do quite a lot of praying. We don't always do it here, but a lot of times we do it here. And this is the thing that he is saying. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall you pray in my church, among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. The point that he's making, I have shown you the way. I have lighted the place and the path that you should take. I am that light. I have set an example for you. So you see, he's trying to present to us the idea that if you want to look for someone to follow, and in other places it says don't follow a man, well, even though he came and took upon him flesh and blood and died for this cause, which is all of us, I'm going to separate him and when I call him the Son of God. And in being that and the strength that he had, he showed us that even with the temptations of the flesh and the frailties of man, if there is that determination within the individual that the Holy Spirit would come and assist him to always do what was right. And in case they made a mistake, he, in setting his example in the things that he said and taught his people, showed us that in the midst of those mistakes, we can repent and forsake that sin. And because he came, lived his life, shed his blood, was resurrected again, went back to the Father, and claimed of him his right of mercy because he had fulfilled the ends of the law. Because of that, that mercy of God allows us to have those sins wiped away. And so this is the pattern of which we can do that. And that's why there is another scripture that's written, let me finish this one first. And it came to pass when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And I have been approached because it seems like lots of us do. We kind of forget once in a while when we're challenged on the question, why do you always pray in Jesus' name? Forgetting that both the Bible and the Book of Mormon, both the record of the Jew and the record of the people of Nephi, tell us in the words of Jesus himself and repeating them that we are to ask everything in his name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. And I know this is a challenge also. And we can't always understand all of the reasoning that the Almighty has in the way he answers our prayers. But believe this, if you will. He always hears, and in his own way, according to the thing that he knows we need the most, he always answers our prayers. Always. If you are determined to ask amiss, then he answers it by saying no. So you see all of these things, and this is the thing I'd like to have you always believe within yourself. He always hears. He always answers. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, And ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you off, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Now this is Jesus again describing all of these things that he wants us to do if we want to follow him. And he tells us all this, and then he starts out again here. He says, he started this short dissertation, "Behold, I am the light, I have set the example for you." Tells us several of these things that he wants us to do, how he wants us to pray, who for. And then he says, "Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do." And in the verse before that, in the last sentence, it says, "Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world." So we cannot hold up that light and disconnect it from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the driving force of that light. Without him, the bulb has no illuminating power. It's this Lord Jesus Christ. Do we believe in him to that extent that our confidence in him will show us the way to go, the path to walk? And if I may plug it into something else, we have a brother in the back that has a little boy. And several people were involved in the questions that he asked and recommended that he take him to a doctor. And that doctor found that he had a need. And now they're in the process of trying to find just how extensive and detailed that need is and how they can treat it and fix it so that he can have a normal life. Can we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is lighting the way for him to find a path to have the solution to these problems? I've seen this happen many times. And I believe with all my heart, because repeatedly I have seen God guide the way. And when the choices are made, a desire for good, he guides them in that path that will solve their problem in a way that will not only make it so that the people involved will be able to have a good life, but in the process of doing so and in showing them that way, it draws them to him, because they realize not only their dependence upon him, but their joy that comes to them in recognizing that dependence of how he has done this, not because somebody twisted his arm, but because he loved us, because he cared for us that much. This is the thing we need to constantly realize. And I believe that if we can believe it deep enough, you know, there's two sides of a person. Maybe more, but I'll just say there's two right now. In your analyzation, you may say there's more than that. There is the spiritual side and the emotional side of how he reacts to whatever situation he encounters. We have to sometimes go against how we emotionally feel If we truly believe the Lord Jesus Christ and want to follow His commandments and do the things He has asked us to do. One of the examples of that is sometimes your response to people that seem to be deliberately and determinedly and repeatedly trying to antagonize you and stir you up to anger. This is a thing that the Lord Jesus has said that we need to lay aside. But in the process of doing that, He has told us, I'll help you with it. I'm going to give an example now of the kind of help that can happen in a place that you sometimes don't expect it. I won't tell you who's involved, but there was a young man that had a boss that wanted him to do some things that were illegal. And he said, I can't do that. And he says, I'm your boss. You have to do it. He said, no, I don't have to do that. I can't do that because it's illegal and it would put our company in jeopardy. It would put me in jeopardy of being put in prison. So I can't do it. But he got real upset with him. Well, then he moved on. But in the process of moving on, he left a detailed bias history, verbal, of course, because it wasn't true, so he didn't write it down. But he had a long talk with the new supervisor that was coming in. And this is where it started. So when the new supervisor called this man in and began to talk to him because he had been doing things, assuming initiative to fulfill his job, he told him he wasn't supposed to do that. And he really tracked up and down his spine. And this man said that he began to feel that fury coming on, and then all at once he felt a warmth and an unusual composure come over him. And he said, well, okay, he said, can I borrow this notepad on your desk? He said, yes. I'm going to write all these things down. I want to make sure that when I write it down that it's right according to what you ask. And then when I get through, I want you to sign it. And I'll do exactly what you say. That's the way I'll do my job. Well, as time went on, he did this, and of course there were a lot of other ensuing things that got involved in it, but I won't go into all of those. Well, then they disorganized the department even, and each one of these people had to move on. But as he moved on, this new boss that had given him this trouble because of what he had been told came to him and said, I have never had an employee that I started out the way we did that wound up doing the kind of job for me that you did. And it gave him a glowing, recorded recommendation to put in his folder. So you see, this story For instance, like of Daniel or of Joseph sold into Egypt. Now, I'm not trying to compare any of our modern day people to them because they're standouts. But the thing that I'm saying is that when they kept trying to do what God wanted them to do, even in adverse circumstances, He helped them be recognized for it. He helped the situation to straighten it out. But in the process of the time from point A to point B, there was an agonizing process of a lot of steps and time that it took a lot of determination to go through. Determination to maintain itself in a conduct following this example as near as they could that Jesus Christ said He set. There is the standard. And that's the reason why we're not supposed to follow a man. Because it is recorded correctly that if you do, you will lead yourself away because He will be a man. But this Lord Jesus Christ is different. And that's why that when we are shortchanged sometimes, it's because our faith is not firm enough. And I know that, to use an expression, that ties a knot in our tail a lot of times, because we don't know exactly what to do about that, because we thought we were real firm in what we thought. We thought we were real firm in what we believed. You know, I suppose this is talking behind somebody's back because my wife's not here, but a long time ago, according to the doctor and talking to Edith about it, this kind of cancer happened a gazillion years ago. Well, that's quite a while. It was over 20 years. But now she has something different. But back then, when that first came on her, she didn't know she had it, and the doctor didn't tell her. X-rays were taken and so forth to offer this proof, but in the process of time, we found out what she had had. And, of course, she had been administered to, and by the time the second set of X-rays were taken, it was gone. And after talking to the doctor, she came home. She told me this years later, really. She said, I got to thinking, oh, it couldn't have been that. It was just gone. You know, it probably was never there. And you know, the next thing she knew, she had a lump under her arm. No, it was this one. She had a lump under her arm, hard as a rock. Well, they had to remove it, and it was cancer, a very rare kind. And she says, I know what caused that. And I said, what was it? She says, I shouldn't have doubted. God was showing me, don't doubt, it was really there. Now you know it was there. Because they spent months giving her different scans to try to find where the origin of that was. Because this cancer that she's supposed to have had that was under her arm was not the original one. It had to be a satellite of something else. That's the kind of cancer it was. And it was fastened to a blood vessel. It was a special kind of cancer that always did that. And so she says, I know what God was telling me. I shouldn't have doubted. But because I doubted, he showed me that it was really there. And he had done this special thing for me. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to condemn my wife for that. You know that. But I'm saying that Jesus is trying to get us to realize that we have to come somewhere or another. We have to come to the point that we ask him for things that we need, which are right to ask for. And that's what's being written here. You shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye receive. Behold, it shall be given unto you. And this is another reason, because of the way this is written and the feeling that my wife has over this, I don't think you'll ever hear her. Well, probably you'll never in public hear her pray anyway. She's a very private person, really. But she'll always ask, God, I want this, but your will be done. I want it that way. These two things put together has made her feel that way, and she's very firm in it. Life has taught her that. And so I'd like to pass it along to you, because it's a good testimony. It's a good thing that follows that example of what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches his people to believe and how they should go at it. Another thing that people sometimes have trouble with, and Jesus tried to show them about this by referring to Jonah. And I've had people say, well, Jonah had a special job to do because that's a reason why he couldn't get away from the Lord. Well, I want to tell you something. In our Sunday school class this morning, we studied a little bit about this, and we came up with a realization in the story of Ananias and Sapphira that you have read about, that one of the things that you have to realize when it comes to dealing with God, you know, you can lie to me or somebody else, but you can't lie to God, because he knows what the answer is before you tell him. And you can't lie to the Holy Spirit, because that's a tool of God. Total honesty with him is a valuable tool. But how can we have total honesty with someone else, especially that unseen, powerful being, if we haven't learned to have honesty with the person you see in the mirror? And we tell ourselves, well, of course I'm honest with myself. Well, I guess I've learned through the years that sometimes you can fool yourself easier than you can someone else. If the things that you're dealing with affect your deep emotional system, the human being seems to always rationalize things. That's a beautiful word, and yet sometimes it's an ugly word. And that's why it's written in the scriptures also that after Jesus was here and taught the people, that after some generations had gone by, that they had many churches in the land. And they professed to know the Christ, but they did deny the more part of his gospel. And this is one of the things that we deal with every day with the people that we talk to every day. We're a Christian nation, supposedly. And in being a Christian nation, it's outstanding that most of us supposedly believe in Christ. One of the scary things that I keep hearing lately is one of the religions that has found its origin in the United States and is multiplying faster than any other religion is Islam. Get back to the brother of Jared. We all want to find that we have that faith like the brother of Jared did. And if you'll go back and read that story, can you imagine someone coming to you and saying, I'm going to tell you something. Do you believe what I'm going to tell you? How many of us would say, well, I have to hear it first. But the brother of Jared didn't say that. When he came to that point, he said, I know that you're a God that cannot lie. And so whatever you tell me is going to be true. Is that an enlightening statement to us? Does it strike us deeply, emotionally? Do we have to rationalize it in order to blunt its impact? But that's what the brother of Jared did. He believed it. And so Jesus did what he asked him to do. Not only that, something that in his terminology, as he asked him to touch those 16 stones and make light come from them with his hand, with his finger, and then when he saw that finger, because this was the terminology that he was used to using, that if he did something, he did it with his hands. He saw that finger, and he didn't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ had a hand and fingers like he did. Even though, you know, that escaped him, even though he probably knew that in the creation they said, let us make man in our own image. So see, all of these things truly do fit together. They truly do. But because of the problems that we have in our nation and in the world, not just in our nation, in the world, we need to be asking God to help us. Because this is the simpleness of our belief. It's a very simple thing to say, I'm going to believe everything that God tells me. But there's another problem that we have here. There is another power in the earth that confuses us. And so when something is being told to us, we have to question ourselves and say, is this God or is it not? Do we know his voice or do we not? And maybe some of these things that people say about Muhammad, for instance, maybe that was really a special prophet and, you know, ought to believe him too. Because we have to respect the opinions of everybody, don't we? Oh, brothers and sisters, you can respect someone's right to believe what he does. You can respect him as a human being that's worthy of being listened to. And always realize that the thing that he's saying is not true. And there is a big difference. I guess I'm going to end tonight by reading something that I guess has really struck me. I can't remember a day when I didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to placing Him in heaven and earth, I guess I didn't stop to think that nobody else sometimes was worthy. Nobody. Of course, that excludes the Father. And so, because of that, I'd like to read from the Revelations of St. John. I'll start at the first verse. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever." And those 24 elders, I guess I've been challenged on this several times. I'm going to identify those 24 elders. We have 12 apostles that Jesus Christ chose when he was here on the earth. That's 12. And he had 12 disciples that he chose over here. That's 12. And they are told, or were told by him, that the 12 disciples here were going to wind up judging this people. And their judgment would be considered and judged by the 12 that Christ chose when he was there. And then, of course, the final went up the line of the chain of command. They turned it over to Jesus, and he turned it over to his Father. This Lamb that is worthy, this Son of God, the Redeemer of mankind, we have to hang on to him. We can't be furious in our efforts, but we have to be firm and immovable. We can't let go. So pray for me, brothers and sisters, that I can do the things that my Lord. I hope he's not mad if I call him my Jesus. And that all of you will be able to absorb that true belief in our Lord Jesus Christ and hang on to it for dear life, because it is life, the only life that we have.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. I'm sorry. I said 309 and read the title of 310. 309 is Savior, teach me day by day. That's the one we're really going to use.